Losing Alpha: Why Most New Crypto Funds Are a Shit Deal, by Ryan Selkis. We're pretty clearly in a crypto bubble right now, and the pervasive greed is getting alarming. There's no shortage of people who are explicitly bragging about flipping ICOs, getting rich quick, and of course, raising funds. Things could get nuttier before the bubble pops, though, because everyone is convinced there's an institutional wall of money ready to enter the markets. The gating item preventing the influx seems to be a lack of rails to get the old institutional gravy train into the frontier town. So, we need to build some railroad tracks. You know, help the pensioners and endowments help themselves by providing access and insights. If you have deep industry knowledge, an excellent network, a track record, and an asymmetric information advantage, you should be considering starting a fund right now. I get it. I can make the fun pitch in my sleep. It goes something like this. 1. There's a chance the crypto markets ends up delivering a 10 to 100x return or better in the next 10 plus years. There could be multiple trillion-dollar networks created whose tokens powered various distributed applications, internet level. 2. Given generally sky-high priced assets, low yields, etc., what is a professional money manager to do to hit 8% return for his clients? Even at these inflated price levels in crypto, the expected 10-year passive returns could still dramatically outperform the old staples on a risk-adjusted basis and are worth adding to a broader portfolio. 3. Asset custody, tax reporting, counterparty risk management, etc. is an absolute fucking nightmare in crypto. There are few properly regulated exchanges in the ecosystem and no liquid titled securities for the asset class. It's simply cheaper, net of fees, to outsource those decisions and administrative functions to people who know the industry better. 4. This all makes crypto funds look pretty attractive. Then there's the fact that crypto is a first thematic investment where you can bet on the trend with an almost perfectly indexed exposure and or rebalance depending on new information. That suggests there's potential for smart managers to generate alpha by creating the perfect basket of blue chip investments in the theme and rebalancing based on information asymmetries. Legal, since these aren't securities. Unless they are, then oops. 5. I myself do not think an index bet on the top 100 cryptocurrencies will outperform most actively managed funds. I certainly pick my own cryptos, because in the long tail of assets, there's some super interesting projects, and many really, really ugly babies. How is XRP still the third largest and fourth most liquid crypto? How is EOS a $500 million project? I'm not putting money in those. I'd rather beg, borrow, and steal to get in the pre-sales of good ICOs, or even public sale prices. I'm making a pretty good pitch for actively managed crypto funds, right? Big upside to the asset class, lots of misinformation, steep learning curve, few pros in the industry, etc. Seems like the perfect place to throw money behind an expert. Why then do I think the everyone start a fund movement is a joke? Aside from the sheer number of new funds, many are confusing fortunate market timing for investing prowess, this trend will basically be an idiot tax on new passive investors. In order to outperform a 70-30 Bitcoin and Ether portfolio over the next 10 years, roughly their proportional market cap today, you need to make some ballsy assumptions. A combination of these, perhaps. 1. There will be a flippening. Both Bitcoin and Ether, the only two cryptos with any real transactional demand and network effects today, are surpassed in value by other tokens. Or power law distributions won't hold for this industry, and Bitcoin and Ether will maintain a plurality of the market share versus 70%. Seems bold. For starters, when the institutional money comes in, they'll invest in what's relatively proven first, and that's the industry blue chips. Betting against BTC and ETH's continued proportional market dominance is betting that retail investors rotate out of BTC and ETH into crypto alternatives faster than new big money flows in. Admittedly, this has already happened a bit with ETH to ICOs. People have been betting house money on 2.0 projects after their initial ETH investments skyrocket. I remember a lot of this with Mastercoin investors in 2013, too. It did not end well. Many new token projects are similarly built on top of Ethereum or pegging to Bitcoin. But ERC-20 tokens probably aren't secure if they become more valuable than the underlying network. So ETH must rise with a successful universe of ERC-20 tokens, but mustn't necessarily fall if all of them die. Then, there's the age-old Bitcoin maximalism question. What happens if people discover most dApps really just need a base protocol cryptocurrency, an on-chain escrow mechanism, not a unique utility token per se? As Mr. T would say, pain. Of course, the lol noobs will make those mistakes, you say. But you will pick the next 1000x projects that gain relative market share on Bitcoin and Ether, because you're mostly focused on finding diamonds in the rough in the long tail, non-ETH, non-BTC markets. Winners there will make up the many, many, many other losers that you back. Bold, bold, bold. I wish I had cojones like that. To illustrate why your balls are so big to think like this, I'll introduce you to a new term I like, fully diluted network value. Some people are starting to think more clearly about this, but the exact terminology hasn't been set. Ryan Shea wrote about price per millionth of 20-year network value for crypto projects, which seemed familiar. Here's the gist. Cryptos are disinflationary. That is, the rate of new token issuance and investor dilution goes down over time. Conversely, that means in the first few years after a network goes live, there must be a lot of net capital inflows relative to its market cap, merely to maintain the price per token. If you look at the fully diluted network value, FDNV, or Ryan Shea's PPM20YNV, the same thing with more precision, you can see how stark this capital requirement will be in the future. For instance, 90% plus of the Gnosis token is still outstanding, implying a FDNV of 2 billion plus. Zcash is similar. Less than 10% is outstanding. It trades at an FDNV of nearly 5 billion and has never traded lower than 500 million FDNV. Even crypto OG Ripple has 10 billion plus, or some made up number of XRP, in treasury that they can tap for future capital, more than currently floats. All projects have great tech teams and exciting projects, but their future token issuance will dilute current investors significantly and almost certainly dampen returns relative to Bitcoin and Ethereum, which both already have the majority of tokens outstanding. 3. Duh, but I'm not going to get in on the presale of tokens like these, so the price will be lower and dilution won't matter as much. Good luck with that. Zcash, which had a seed round with an exclusive handful of venture capitalist investors, DCG was one, so I was there, then launched the network and mined the Genesis block. Zero entry points in between. Gnosis went the opposite direction, trying to force sanity by running a public reverse Dutch auction that would be insanely expensive to the public if oversubscribed. The result was a 300 million FDNV at launch, with the GNO team retaining 95% of tokens. The investment has rallied further since, but perhaps only because the float is low and the dilution hasn't hit yet. The long-term overhang and uncertainty matters for new funds. And things are getting even crazier with the new ICOs. The presale rounds are getting more competitive and more expensive. If you are lucky, you might get a 100K allocation in a seed round in an ICO issuing company, or a SAFT in a hot new ICO. Most likely, in reality, the OGs, Metastable, Polychain, Blockchain Capital, Pantera, Drapers, etc., will gobble up all the allocations because they have stronger network effects and will send higher quality signals to other public sale investors. So you won't put capital to work in the ICOs your LPs want access to. Say you want to get into a larger presale, like Filecoin, though. Not at the Protocol Labs company level investment, but maybe an advisor presale, like part one of the Filecoin SAFT. Disclosure, I did this and will write next week about why I invested. It priced, even at its most heavily discounted advisor rate, at 52 cents per file, which implies an FDNV of around 1 billion once all the Filecoin is mined. That's a starting point which is 15 to 20 times higher than Ethereum's at its crowd sale. It means your moon case performance for file is more than an order of magnitude lower than Ethereum's, based on its opening FDNV. Of course, once the Filecoin public sale concludes, it will likely close at an even higher price. It's conceivable the FDNV will make Filecoin, pre-launch, nearly as valuable as Dropbox, and 10% as valuable as Bitcoin on an FDNV basis. While I do believe Juan is a combination of Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and the Dos Equis man, that's fucking insane. For exciting, high-potential projects like Filecoin, Zcash, and Gnosis, you need to believe that there are literally billions of dollars of net new inflows that will enter in the short term, just to run in place post-ICO. Good luck if you close your fund in Q4 and start averaging in from there. Seriously, good luck. We need you to absorb some of that sell volume. Okay, so you can't get big allocations in hot new deals because you're late and network effects. So you're forced to buy in at or near quoted exchange prices. Unless you want to be an alpha negative chump, you need to be a bona fide trading whiz. 4. This last point is interesting, and I can sort of buy into the pitch that in this wild, wild west of amateur investors, prop traders could clean up. In other words, real hedge fund managers with real trading experience will do well. Not rookie seed investors with ledger wallets and margin trading accounts on Bitfinex. Real adults. The long tail of cryptos are still pretty illiquid. The markets also seem to be hyper irrational. Add those together and good traders may be able to exploit arbitrage opportunities and make some money. Still, I'd imagine most of the hedge fund money gets made trading new derivatives and making markets, not speculating on the ebbs and flows in the long tail of alternative assets. Because professional managers will have an acute awareness of the need to manage counterparty risk and conduct business with Uber-compliant partners. That brings me to my grand finale of why the crypto fund boom is going to probably end before it even gets started. 5. The SEC is going to absolutely wreck your shit, and they just sent out an initial warning. Go ahead and take a break to read Preston Bryan's synopsis of what it means. I'll wait. Most crypto ICOs probably pass the Howey test. That's not good. That's like testing positive at the doctor's office. You don't want positive. You don't want Howey, which says, roughly, investments of money, 1, into common enterprises, 2, with the expectations of profit, 3, based off the work of others, 4, are securities. There's a lot of legal gymnastics around doing compliant pre-sales for utility tokens. But here's the general dynamic. Investment funds are investing money, 1, in new projects, 2, in which they expect to generate liquidity on their investments, 3, following the work the developer teams do to launch the networks, 4, and for good measure, they usually expect to sell their tokens by listing them on an unregistered exchange. Howey is a 4-part test, and most ICOs seem to be passing all of the tests, plus 1 for good luck, by working with exchanges to facilitate secondary public trading of the speculative tokens. Here's what could happen to the funds if there's an SEC crackdown. A. The SEC, at any time and without warning, could force major exchanges like Poloniex or Kraken to delist certain tokens. Or they could cut the foreplay and suspend trading on the exchanges outright by pursuing enforcement actions against them for failing to register for the proper licenses. There goes your long-tail liquidity, and with it, 50 to 90% plus of asset values. 2 things mitigate this risk, but only partially. The first is the rise of fully decentralized exchanges, but those will likely be off-limits to crypto funds with compliance teams. The other is that the SEC might look at the biggest exchanges as the devils you know and surveil the exchanges versus shutting them down outright. B. The SEC pursues a few low-hanging fruit projects. That leads to new ICO issuances drying up or moving to new jurisdictions. Funds in the largest markets, Europe, the US, Asia, have their hands tied. Even if they wanted to move abroad, they wouldn't have an easy time attracting investor money to follow them. The boom times end. C. The secondary trading of ICOs becomes mostly legal. Investors will need to wait for new platforms, perhaps CoinList, to create secondary trading products that allow them to cash out their ICO stakes. For the time being, these products will only be available to accredited investors, so the pool of speculators is smaller and more sophisticated. Lower alpha for funds. Having fun yet? All you need to do to produce alpha as a crypto fund is to beat Bitcoin and Ethereum, get early access to cheap but high potential token issuances, make money before dilution really starts to hammer the young tokens, invest big money without moving markets, and hope the SEC embraces the crypto boom. You've got this. As an institutional investor, unless you think you can back the next crypto investing prodigies and believe the SEC won't freeze in the long tail of cryptos, you're better off simply working with a company like Coinbase to custody multi-million dollar accounts of Bitcoin and Ether. Otherwise, the also-rans of the crypto fund market will significantly and unnecessarily tax your future gains or squander them entirely, chasing too many of the up-and-coming moonshots. The final notes for this article and links for further reading can be found in the original article link in the description.